Blog Talk Radio.
On Free Psychic Readings Wednesday, and we're so glad that you're here to be with us. The first Wednesday of April. Yesterday was April Fool's, so I hope that everybody had a good time, and I hope your jokes were in good taste, whoever you were fooling, and nobody has any hard feelings, but got a good laugh out of it. So I hope that everybody enjoyed. So as I said, it's Free Psychic Readings Wednesday. And my co-host Brenda is on the line. Brenda.
Hi.
She's drinking coffee, y'all. And then, of course, Miss Nina, she's in the chat room. So let me begin it correctly. The phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's area code 646-727-2914. The chat room is open. Miss Nina is there, and she'll be glad to answer your questions or guide you through the conversation with us. So be sure and stop in. If nothing else, go in there and say hi to her. She's a wonderful lady in a good spirit.
And okay. She's very powerful, too. She's a powerful psychic as well.
Yes, and a Reiki healer. Let's not forget that. She's also a Reiki healer. So you can also ask Nina questions as well. Yes, please. Okay, well, since we don't have any callers right away, I've decided to, being led to this direction about relationships. So I'm going to speak a little bit about it, ask Brenda her input on it, and just give you more of a wider understanding about relationships or how you view relationships. I'll put it like that. Okay, the question is, are you saying that being in the arms of another is okay as long as you're honest about it? What I'm saying that a thing is okay or not okay depending on what you decide about it. I'm saying that people in relationships cannot even know if it is okay with them if they do not know that it is occurring. I'm saying that what does not work in highly evolved relationships is lying about anything. I am saying that lying is lying, whether it is by commission or omission. I am saying that once the whole truth is told, your decision about whether you can love a person who has loved or is now loving another is ultimately based on what you declare to be your most appropriate and comfortable form of relationship, and that this will be based in most cases on what you imagine that you need from another person in order to be happy. I'm saying that if you need nothing, then you can love another unconditionally without any limitations whatsoever. You can grant them total freedom. Well, my thing is that I believe when you love, you should love totally and unconditionally without expectations. So the question was posed, okay, but yes, but then you wouldn't be in a life partnership with them. The answer, you wouldn't unless you would. Mastery is reached when this becomes a decision and a choice based on what is true for you, rather than what someone else has told you ought to be true or on what your society has established as its current convention around life partnerships or on what you feel others may think of you. Masters give themselves the freedom to make any choice they wish and give those that they love the same freedom. Freedom is the basic concept and construct of life everywhere, because freedom is the basic nature of God. All systems which reduce, restrict, impinge upon, or eliminate freedom in any way are systems which work against life itself. I hope everybody understood that. Freedom is the basic concept and construct of life everywhere, because freedom is the basic nature of God. All systems which reduce, restrict, impinge upon, or eliminate freedom in any way are systems which work against life itself. Freedom is not the goal of the human soul, but it is the very nature. By nature, the soul is free, y'all. Lack of freedom is, therefore, a violation of the very nature of the soul. In truly enlightened societies, freedom is not recognized as a right, but as a fact. It is something that is rather than something that is given. Freedom is not granted, but rather taken for granted. What is observed in enlightened societies is that all beings are free to love each other and to express and demonstrate that love to each other in whatever way is authentic and true and appropriate to that moment. The people who decide what is appropriate to the moment are the people doing the loving. There are no laws of government, society taboos, religious restrictions, psychological barriers, tribal customs, or unspoken rules and regulations regarding who, when, where, and how one may love, and who, when, where, and how one may not. Yet, here is the key that makes this work in highly evolved societies. I know I keep going back to highly evolved society because that's where my mind goes sometimes. I go way out in the universe. All the parties who are in love must decide what love would do now. One party may not decide to do something because he thinks it is loving. If there is no agreement from the other party or parties, all the parties, must also be adult and mature and capable of making such decisions for themselves. So, now the question is asked, well, what if I'm a third party? I don't think that what two other people have decided is loving and is very loving toward me. Well, then you must tell the other parties how you feel about it, what your truth is. And depending upon how they respond to your truth, you can decide what changes, if any, you wish to make in the form of your relationship with them. Now, the question is asked, but what if it's not all that easy? What if I need them? The less that you need from someone, the more you can love them. Now, I'm going to tell you why. How can you need nothing from someone you love? By loving them not for what they can give you, but simply for who they are. I'm going to repeat that because I want everybody to get it. How can you need nothing from someone you love? By loving them, hear me well, not for what they can give you, but simply for who they are.
Okay, can I break in?
Yes, ma'am.
So you spoke of unconditional love, and I'm not sure everybody quite understands that. I believe that's what you just now defined in a certain way. But
Okay. Listen,
unconditional love is simply that. There's no condition on it. And that means, the way that I heard it when I was growing up in the Judeo-Christian aspect of things is that if Jesus were to stand in front of someone and they said, "You are the love of my life," Jesus would simply say, "Okay." There would not be, "Well, okay, you know, Brenda, yeah, I'd love you to be the love of my life, but, you know, you're going to have to grow your hair longer. Or, you know, Brenda, I would love you to be, you know, the love of my life, except you don't have the right job. You don't have enough money. You don't take care of me. You don't drive the right car. Or you're not even in the right religion." Because, see, we can't be together because our pathways to God don't match. That would have nothing to do with it. Your physical elements would have nothing to do with it. Your mental capacities would have nothing to do with it. Nothing would have to do with the love that is unconditional. And while I know there's a lot of enlightened beings on this earth, I don't think there's many that walk this earth that actually love unconditionally. I know that we like to believe that we do, but our actions often show otherwise. So, and it was interesting that you also said, like, when there's a party of two that love each other and then a third person says that I don't feel the love from that. I didn't understand if you meant, like, if somebody else wanted to have a relationship with one of the two people who are in a relationship.
Yes, but you're almost,
you have a lot of concepts coming out, and it's like you might have to break it down because unconditional love, I mean, that could be like a 5-hour conference.
Yeah.
You know? And then when you get to relationships and whether someone's going to step outside one or someone's going to try to enter one, that's a whole nother thing, too, and what's really going on there.
Well, and then, too, Brenda, let me go a little bit further, because people could say if you just simply love the person for who they are, excuse me, they might feel like, well, hey, what if that person just walks all over me and treats me like I'm a piece of boo-boo or something? My answer to that is loving another does not mean that you must stop loving yourself, okay?
That's right.
Loving another does not mean you have to stop loving. Granting another person full freedom does not mean granting them the right to abuse you, nor does it mean sentencing yourself to a prison of your own device in which you live a life you would not choose in order that another may live a life that they do. Yet granting full freedom does not mean placing no limitations of any kind upon another.
Well, that's different than unconditional love when you're saying that if you're saying
love
to someone, I love you so you can treat me any old way that you want to, that's not unconditional love. Any time that we're actually behaving in a manner that disables another person's ability to thrive in life and socially manage with other people in life, that is not loving them. And when I say disable, that means that you allow things that are anti-loving and anti-social to take place between you. Because most people start to replicate things that they've been allowed to do. So if you're allowing your children to do horrendous things like steal or hit other people, and you go to their aid and say, he didn't mean it, oh, come on, let's play nice, or you just gloss over it and say nothing, you're disabling the person who's doing that in society. That's not unconditional love. Unconditional love means there's no condition that has to be met for me to love you. It doesn't, as Lennon said, mean that you accept everything that they do, but you still love them regardless of the things they do. Love is not the same thing as managing somebody's behavior.
No.
understand that.
And even so, what you just said, Brenda, continue to love yourself. As I said, you know, you can love another person, but don't stop loving yourself. And you brought up a good point, because I was just dating somebody, and I'll just put it out there. I smoke cigarettes, and this man doesn't like cigarettes. So I'm like, oh, okay, then I can't be smoking cigarettes. You know, I'm going to have to chill out on that. Now, I'm already not loving myself. I'm not being true to me. This is who I am. What I could do is don't smoke around him. I respect that you don't smoke cigarettes, so that I'm still loving myself, but I'm also granting him his freedom to be who he's are and to be who I am. But now I've stopped being myself and like, oh, he doesn't like cigarettes. He's not a drinker, so I got to make sure I don't have that glass of wine if we meet up, you know, for lunch or dinner or whatever. Now I'm not being who I am, true to myself. So I may be loving
well,
him, but am I loving me? No.
I would like to interject from a psychological perspective that you're talking about a behavior. You're not talking about who you are. If you smoke or you drink, it is a habit, it is a behavior, it is not who you are. Who you are is much more elevated and much more... Who you are has to do with who you are in your spirit. I believe, this is my perspective, that we're spiritual beings inhabiting these meat suits. And if you've listened to me at all, you probably have heard me say that our meat suit or whatever, it's just a vessel that it literally protects the soul, the physical soul, not the complete core of your soul. So... in my mind, when you responded with "I need to stop smoking because he doesn't smoke," as a psychologist, I would have asked, "Well, why do you feel that you would need to stop smoking?" I wouldn't think that it has everything to do with him, as much as there's some belief inside you that it's something you need to do anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise,
for
you
sure.
would be
yeah.
like, "Smoking is the breath of my life. I can't live if I can't smoke." When you can't live unless you do something, it has something to do with who you believe that you are. It doesn't necessarily mean that's who you are. So I think that's, I mean, at least that's my opinion from a psychological point of view.
Okay.
And so we'll probably should think about that when they're choosing to make choices with how they will be, their behaviors around somebody. If it's a behavior that you've sort of always wanted to do or rectify or mend or change, and you decide to do that because of this new person you're dating, then you're almost putting it on them, and they didn't say that. Now, it's one thing if someone says, "You can't smoke and be with me." And then you have to choose, you know, can I give up
right.
this habit mm-hmm. that I don't care for? Or I'm just going to be me. And then what takes precedence in that situation? My behaviors matter more to me than the love of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what we're saying when we do that. So
okay.
we all have to sort of check ourselves with stuff like that. Now, as far as your personality, it has nothing to do with the behaviors of you, but your personality, how you love people or you welcome people and family in your life. If that person had said, no family or friends around us, I just want it to be us in our house. I don't want any strangers in our house. That would be against who you are. Do you see the difference?
And you know that does happen, Brenda. Bring it up, because that does happen where some people, their spouses or boyfriend are so controlling that they have no friends around them or family because they've bought into it and now they don't even love themselves. So go ahead. That's a good one.
And that happens with women as well. So it's not just girlfriends or boyfriends. Sometimes it's the children that are controlling the situation. But control, you know, there's a whole lot of psychological things that go into control, but yeah, you know, these are good topics because these are things that kind of get muddled in together, and they really aren't together. The reality is behaviors are not who you are. And that's a good reason. That's a good thing for you to understand. When you do a behavior and you feel completely embarrassed or shameful about it, the behavior is not you. So we may not like your behavior, and people may hate your behaviors, and they may avoid you at all costs because of your behaviors. But the love that is unconditional should not diminish just because you're a drug addict or you're a gambler or you are sociopathic, meaning, you know, you have no concern as to whether you kill someone or kiss them. It's all the same to you. But the love should remain. If it's love, it doesn't diminish. Love isn't something that people think they can meter it out and all that. You can't. Love simply exists, just like the truth. You may try to manifest it and control it, but it's not controllable. And we tell ourselves that we love somebody less because they did this or that. It's like, well, I just don't think I can love you anymore. Well, then maybe you never love them. You know, you love someone, you love them. You may not be able to be around them because their behaviors are possibly threatening to your life or toxic to your soul, but the love remains if it was ever really there. So
we got a question.
We really do need to, in life, people need to try to distinguish the differences.
Yeah.
But yeah, relationships, because we're talking about relationships.
Right.
At the core of all this, unconditional love, how does that look? It doesn't mean that you go out and marry somebody that has threatened to kill your children if you don't keep them supplied with cigarettes or give them sex every 15 minutes. You may love them, but the way I like it is leave them and let them be. Or there's the popular saying, leave them to heaven. Leave her to heaven. Leave him to heaven. You still love them, but they need to be in God's hands or in someone else's hands because of what they do. So just
okay.
Understand that. Whenever you think you're in love with somebody, strip out all the things that seem so wonderful about them as far as habits and see if you can love them then. Strip out the financial, strip out the job, strip out how gorgeous they look, strip out the kind of clothes they wear. Take all that out of the picture, and do you still love them? And if you can't still love them, then you probably aren't in love with them. You might be in like or in lust. Or so says the psychologist to be.
Well, another question came up. How can you stop another from walking all over you if you don't place any limitations on them? You do not place limitations on them. You place limitations on yourself, people. You limit what you choose to experience, not what another is allowed to experience.
You limit behaviors, right? How does that, like Mama Lenny? And it is in my, yeah, I'm sorry, a little shameless plug, but it's in my book. In my great-grandmother's house, you don't dance, and you sure in hell don't play cards. Okay? I when they tried to break out cards in Mama Lenny's house, somebody was chasing you out of the room, out of the house. So did Mama Lenny, she loved our family like you have no idea. She had this spiritual network that it didn't matter where you were in the world, she knew something was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Love was connected, and it was super strong. Really strong family with that. But she did not allow certain behaviors in her house. when my mom tried to beat the crap out of my sister and I, that little 5 foot, she wasn't even 5 feet tall, I don't think, but she came downstairs with a belt, and I thought our mom was crazy. We were kids, and I think we were probably getting in trouble because Cheryl and I argued all the time. But my great-grandmother came down there, and she threatened to hit my mom, who could have just killed her. And my mom was so enraged for just anybody even trying to stop her behavior. She looked at my great-grandmother. I thought she was going to kill my great-grandmother. But my great-grandmother had the power of love. And I know that my mom felt that love even when my great-grandmother threatened to take the strap to her. And when she told her not to hit us another lick. Nah, another lick, and she stomped her foot. Now, that's some Southern power right there. But the love is not gone. The behaviors are what needed to stop.
Yeah.
So understand that, especially if you're in a relationship where there's domestic abuse. Don't use the love that this person claims they have for you as an excuse to allow their behaviors. Unacceptable behaviors are simply unacceptable. And Lennox is right. You're the one that allows it. The first time somebody even pushes you in a relationship, whether they think it's funny, they're joking around, don't accept it. Because unfortunately, when it comes to hits and pushes and physical meanness, it escalates. Because what goes into the back of somebody's mind psychologically is, I just pushed her, it's no big deal. The next time when they kind of knock you, and it's like, I just knocked you, it was no big deal. Do you hear how that just keeps building? And most wife beaters don't necessarily, well, I shouldn't say most, a lot of wife beaters don't start out as wife beaters. They get away with the behavior, like a small one, and then they start building. And that's where you're helping to disable them by training them that it's okay. You know, and that's where we're all culpable of the things that are taking place in our lives.
Yeah.
When we,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't stand up against what is not right, and I'm saying right like your human rights, not right or wrong, but your human rights. And you have an inalienable right not to be beaten, not to be harmed by anybody.
That's right. Because okay, I'm not going to get emotional. It's an act of self-definition. It definitely is. It defines who you are.
Yeah. Okay. Continue. I'm sorry.
And no, that is good. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's go to the part now about announcing and declaring who you are in a relationship. You're free to announce and declare who you are in every moment of now, N-O-W. Indeed, you're doing so without even knowing it. You are not free, however, to declare who someone else is or who they must be, which Brenda just said, your behaviors. This love would never do, nor would God, who is the essence of love itself. If you wish to announce and declare that you are a person who needs and requires the exclusive love of another in order for you to be happy, in order to feel comfortable and appropriate and secure, you're free to announce that. You will show it with your actions in any event that will be your announcement, which Brenda just spoke about. If you wish to announce and declare that you are a person who needs and requires the largest portion of the time and energy and focus of another in order to be happy, in order to feel comfortable and appropriate and secure, you are free to announce that too. Yet, I will tell you this, if you allow your declaration of self to translate into jealousy of another or of another friend's or job or hobby and outside interests, your jealousy will end your love and may very well end that other's love for you. The good news is that defining who you are and who you choose to be, does not have to translate into jealousy of another, nor into control over them, which Brenda spoke about. It simply and lovingly states who you are and how you choose life to be for you. Your love for another goes on even as you lovingly and compassionately work through whatever differences may exist between you. The word was lovingly and compassionately, folks. And however you change the nature of your relationship as a result of those differences, you do not have to end a relationship in order to change it. Indeed, you cannot end a relationship but can only alter it. You always have a relationship with everyone. The question is not whether you have a relationship, but what kind of relationship do you have? Your answer to this question will affect your life forever and indeed could truly change your world. Brenda?
I agree. What?
No, I was just kind of piggybacking on what you said with a little bit more clarity. But
yeah.
So true. We, and love relationships as well as relationships with each other because Brenda's right. And, too, it does define who you are. So, like Brenda said, for instance, my example is my ex-husband was an alcoholic and a DV, domestic violence. Now, I've already experienced this, so I don't need to experience it again, right? I'm looking for another creation, something better. So I'm not going to be with somebody that drinks. I'm not going to be with somebody that I see red flags that this person could possibly be, has a violent nature or toxic nature about them. I'm going to look for somebody totally different. But then that's because I'm defining me. So if I look for the same thing again, I'm not trying to grow. I'm, as they say, settling or becoming stagnant in one way of life instead of looking for there is a better way, there's something better. And if nothing else, like Brenda say, I love myself more than this. So because I love myself more than going through this, why would I put me and you through this, you know, this heartache, this thing that we're going through? So that's another thing, too, for women and men. When you're in relationships that are not working for you, don't compete, repeat the same behaviors in another relationship. Create something new and grow from that. And just tell yourself, I deserve better than this. And you do, because you're loving yourself. If you don't love yourself the way you want to be loved, how can you love the next person and understand them? So you got to define in yourself, is this the love that I want? Do I want to stay here in this relationship? Do I want to put up with this? Because if you are you being true to yourself now? Or are you being true to them? So.
Yeah.
But that's
I just
want to
say
to
that
about.
Loving yourself is basically loving others. So if you're not loving yourself, basically what Lennis is saying, then what are you doing to other people? That's the next question. What are you doing if you're not loving yourself?
It's
kind of creepy.
Yeah, it is. And people need to learn, too, to forgive yourself. You know, when you love yourself, we all have untold stories within us that we don't talk about. But be able to forgive yourself for whatever. I don't care, past, future, present. But forgive yourself so that you can feel like you can love yourself. There's a lady on Saturday that does a show, Time to Love, and her name is Lydia. Comes on at 2 o'clock Pacific, 3 o'clock Mountain. And she had a show on being worthy, which is also a part of loving yourself. Don't you feel worthy enough that you deserve better? You know, put yourself on a pedestal. You know, sometimes when people, we get mad when people say, oh, yeah, she thinks she looks so good, she's conceited, or she's got a job, you know, that pays $200,000 a year. She's just conceited because she thinks she's all that. Well, you know what? Be all that because you are. If that's what defines you and you feel good about yourself, that you got this great big job, forget about the naysayers or, as the kids say, the haters. You do this because you love it and you believe in yourself.
and your faith in yourself that you can do this. So why shouldn't you be proud of yourself? Why shouldn't you be conceited about who you are? You did this. You should be proud. I'm not saying, as Brenda said, as a behavior now, and get to be a bragger or stuff like that, but be conceited within yourself. Heck yeah, I did this. I did this. Brenda is going to be a doctor here just, as we say, in the wink of an eye, just shortly. She can be proud of herself, jump up and down, run around the house, get drunk, whatever she want to do, because she did this. Hell yes, be conceited. I did this, and I'm proud of what I did. So when people say that sometimes, I don't get mad. I'm like, if you're conceited, I know that you feel good about you.
Hmm.
And maybe you see something that,
that
I
word
don't see. Conceited? You don't like that word? Well, give me another one.
No, I got to look up that word because I just wanted to know how it's defined exactly. I have never looked it up. I mean, I've understood definition, but you know, I knew that it had to do with exaggerated pride or belief in oneself. But basically it's like, you know, to take a fancy to. It does have a good opinion of, so it totally fits. It totally fits. And some people, most people go by the first, because, you know, folks, there's several definitions in the dictionary, and of the five that that dictionary.com uses, the first one is the one that's more negative, and then the second one and the third one and the fourth one and even the fifth one, they're more like the way that Linus is using it. And it's like it is having to do with sort of being proud and taking a fancy to your the things you've done.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Bravo. Thank you,
yep.
Linus. I needed
yep.
to look that up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have
that word conceited
mm-hmm.
when I was a kid, and I have a cousin who had won a spelling bee in. Just to tell you how your perception is about yourself and things, I saw that she had a spelling bee award on her wall, and I remember thinking back then when I was about 12, I remember thinking, wow, she must be so smart. I had never participated in a spelling bee. I mean, I've done things in classes, but never an official spelling bee, even though I know and love words like you just have no idea. But she asked me what it was like attending school where we were. We had lived in Seattle, and then we moved out to Sumner, and it was a really small town, but it was predominantly white. So there were no black children. There wasn't even any Asian children. There was nobody in this little community where I did start school, in Bonnie Lake, actually. There was nobody there except me, to the point where, you know, there was a black janitor, and they all asked me if that was my dad, and I asked them, no, is it your dad? And they looked at me like I was crazy. But I think it's crazy for someone to assume all black people are related. Imagine if I thought that about all white people or Asians or, you know, Native Americans, etc. But anyway, so long story, coming back around, my cousin asked me what it was like out there, and I said, well, it's okay, but they all seem rather conceited. And she totally looked at me and just flew into a rage. Don't come around here using all those big words around us. And I remember immediately feeling like she had hit me. And also completely confused. I was 12 years old, and conceited is not a big word at age 12 to me. Not in our household, where our mom was constantly, if you asked how do you spell, it's like, look it up. That's what she said to us all the time. So our mom was very much into words, whatever. But the point is, this word conceited, it's not that big of a word. Whether you understand it or not, look it up. And there's more than one definition. So when Lena says, someone calls and says, hey, I am conceited about myself, she says bravo, and I say bravo with Lennis, because they're using the better definition. I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, it's true. And the only way you're going to know that, you know, when somebody says something instead of going to the negative, is actually understand the word and understand what somebody is saying. And yep. Above all, be proud of your own self. See, I was looking bad about myself because I didn't have a spelling bee experience. And, well, I don't think I was the one that had the problem. Although I love my cousin, she's the one that was a problem. I don't know what she got in the spelling bee, but I assume if she thought conceited was a big word, she didn't get very far. But I got nothing but love for you, cuz, wherever you are.
Well, I'm going to take a minute, because what I want to do is, before about the last 10 minutes of the show, I want to read something. It's called, Brenda has heard it before, it's called Right Now. And I'm going to read that about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but because I think it's very beneficial today with what we've been talking about. But before I do that, I want to take a few minutes and tell you about the shows for the rest of the week. And coming up on Thursday, we have Filmcology that begins at 4 o'clock, so change the time. If you've been listening, because I know a lot of folks don't call in, but we see the stats. We know you go back in to listen to the show. But just mark your calendars. Brenda normally came on at 11, so she'll be coming on at 4 p.m. tomorrow. So mark your calendars. And Brenda, what is the show about tomorrow on Filmcology?
Tomorrow we're wrapping up the Alien series, and we're going to watch the prequel to the Alien series. It's called Prometheus.
Oh,
and
I love that movie.
It came out last year, I believe.
Yeah.
And so it's you probably can catch it on HBO or Showtime or one of those channels, whatever. And you can watch how what they say, a lot of answers to the whole alien thing.
Right.
You know, but I pretty much want us to kind of review some of the male-female issues that we see in there.
Yes, because it was definitely one in Prometheus, that doctor, you know, that wanted to see. But anyway.
Okay, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then on Friday we have Friday Traffic Jam with Lennis. Music, and each week is something different, so you never know. You got to listen, but I'll tell you what. When you leave work, you'll be smiling. When you get home, you'll be like, yeah, yeah, it'll be all right. So be sure to enjoy Lennis on Friday. And then Saturday, this young lady I spoke about earlier, Time to Love with Lydia, is 2 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Mountain, and 5 Eastern time. And I'm not for sure. What is? Do you know what Lydia's topic is this week, Saturday?
Nina, okay, she's typing it. Let's see. Oh, maybe Nina isn't typing it. But she did sort of mention it on Saturday, and I have to say it escaped my mind. But the point is, her show is, you know, Time to Love, and you know that whatever it is, it's going to be an important discussion about loving yourself and, you know, and taking our world to a better place of loving.
Amen.
Yes.
Whew, that will definitely make this a better world when we can all learn to love each other as well, totally and unconditionally, not just the people that are close to us, but the world. And I know that's hard,
right.
But boy, I'm telling you, folks, the most powerful energy on this planet is love. And if you've experienced the most ultimate love that can be, then you're a powerful being. You are. Because the soul is that which beholds beauty, even when the mind denies it. So you're living in soul instead of in flesh. You know, and you do that. So, and Sunday, the show Sunday, I'm doing an interview with New Word Social Media. So we'll be doing a Q&A with the owner, Melissa New Word. And she helps people to build their website, understand social media, and she works with corporations as well. So we'll be interviewing her Sunday. And then on Monday, Sunday show is at 3 o'clock. I'm sorry, in the studio with Linus on Sunday at 3 p.m. And then Monday, we've got L&B Empowerment. And what's the show going to be about this Monday, ladies?
The show, this is all about choices. So,
okay.
What this is talking about is how the choices that you make are what pretty much fuels everything in your life. You know,
mm-hmm.
where you're going, what you're doing. Like Nina says, the choice to drink or not to drink, even the
mm-hmm.
choice to treat someone badly or not to treat someone badly. Even, you know, choosing your own path versus allowing others to choose it. So choices fuel your life, its journey. So it's something for you to really, choices are extremely important. God gave us the free will, free choice.
Yes.
Nobody else has a right to take that away from us. So we'll be talking about that, the choices, and call and discuss, you know, some of the choices you've made or that you're thinking about making. There's a lot of wisdom on that panel, and I'm sure we'd love to help you.
Oh, yeah. And choices also, sometimes your intuition will tell you, not now, you know, but we listen to that or we just like, I'll go ahead and do it. This is my choice. And may regret it later or may be happy about it because it can be just as yin and yang. It can be joyful as well as the other side. So, yeah,
right.
That's going to be a good show because we do have choices.
Yeah, I think
you know,
so.
Sometimes when we tell people that just as a coddle to that, you know, it's like, well, why am I going through this or why am I in this situation or why is he treating me like that? Well, you know what? You got choices. Hello. Choices. Yeah, that's going to be good. That's going to be good. Okay, so we're up. I'll leave it at Monday because I don't want to go any further because you're coming on tomorrow. So that's our lineup. And I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, Tuesday, well, I would just like to get people sort of prepared, sorry, for next week.
Ahead,
that's why I want to. Like, Tuesday, for me, on BYO Brilliance, we're going to be talking about the brilliance of stillness. So that's something to look into. And then also next week's Filmcology. So just to give you a heads up, go watch it. There's a movie called Love is All You Need. And it's a movie that has some foreign stuff in it and in English. But it's a really cute comedy out of Denmark. So please try to go see it. Somewhere, you know, you can catch it online somewhere, whatever. But it's a great little comedy about some of the things that Linus is talking about today in relationships. Good God, you just have to see it. But it's a really good movie, and it's got Pierce Brosnan in it, and so it's just his handsome little self. And
yes,
Trine Sterholm. I don't know how to say her name real well, but it's a very good movie. Okay. So,
all right.
Thank you. Now let's hear about this wonderful. Please tell us. I want to hear this again because I think it's great.
Okay. So remember, you're on the Essence of Success Network, and it's a network that is run by women for women. Ha ha. Change that too. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening and joining us today. I want to thank Nina for being in the chat room. If you missed her, I'm telling you, y'all need to come in on the chat. I know people are very shy, but that's okay if you don't want to be on the air. Like I said, Nina will assist you. And, of course, Brenda always. Brenda brings a psychologist's point of view and quite a bit of understanding about different subject matter we discuss and even as we're doing readings on people. So, without further ado, I'm going to read right now.
Don't forget to tell us where you got this. Don't forget to tell us where you got it.
I don't know where I got it from.
Oh.
I don't. I've had it for years. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Right now, somebody is very proud of you. Right now, somebody is thinking of you. Right now, somebody is caring about you. Right now, somebody misses you. Right now, somebody wants to talk to you. Right now, somebody wants to be with you. Right now, somebody hopes you aren't in trouble. Right now, somebody is thankful for the support you have provided. Somebody wants to hold your hand. Somebody hopes everything turns out all right. Somebody wants you to be happy. Somebody wants you to find him or her. Somebody wants you to give you a gift. Somebody thinks that you are a gift. Somebody wants to hug you. Somebody hopes you're not too cold or too hot. Somebody loves you. Somebody wishes you would lavish them with small things. Somebody admires your strength. Right now, somebody is thinking of you and smiling. Somebody wants to be your shoulder to cry on. Somebody wants to go out with you and have a lot of fun. Somebody thinks the world of you. Somebody wants to protect you. Somebody would do anything for you. Somebody wants to be forgiven. Somebody is grateful for your forgiveness. Somebody wants to laugh with you about old times. Somebody remembers you and wishes that you were there. Right now, somebody is praising God for you. Right now, somebody needs to know that your love is unconditional. Right now, somebody values your advice. Right now, somebody wants to tell you how much they care. Right now, somebody wants to stay up watching old movies with you. Right now, somebody wants to share their dreams with you. Somebody wants to hold you in their arms. Somebody wants you to hold them in their arms. Right now, somebody treasures your spirit. Right now, somebody wishes they could stop time because of you. Somebody loves you for who you are. Somebody loves the way you make them feel. Somebody wants to be with you. Somebody is hoping they can grow old with you. Somebody wants you to know they are there for you. Somebody's glad that you're his or her friend. Right now, somebody wants to be your friend. Right now, somebody stayed up all night thinking about you. Right now, somebody is alive because of you. Right now, somebody is very remorseful after losing your friendship. Right now, somebody is wishing you noticed him or her. Right now, somebody wants to get to know you better. Right now, somebody believes that you are his or her soulmate. Right now, somebody wants to be near you.
right now somebody misses your advice and your guidance. Right now somebody has faith in you. Right now somebody trusts you. Right now somebody needs your support. Right now somebody needs you to have faith in them. Right now somebody will cry as they hear these words that I've just mentioned, here and now. And right now somebody needs you to let them be your friend forevermore. And that is right now from me, Lynnis Boyd, to the listening audience, and I hope everyone enjoyed, because it touches my heart as well. And it's true,
yeah,
about the things that I read. Yes, ma'am.
And we don't often think about that. We really don't often think about that. But, you know, I'll tell you something, Lynnis. It's the thought that somebody was thinking about me that touches my heart beyond belief. My sister sent me some dog tags, and I so love her. Thank you for the dog tags, and yes, I am your sister, and I absolutely adore you. And it's just that when somebody thinks about you when you're not calling to remind them or telling them, what, you know, or just nagging or yelling or just whatever to remind them to think about you, when out of the blue you get a card or you get a gift or they even tell you they were going to do something, that is just touching. I'm going to give you a quick example. My sweetie, he had called me and we were talking about something, and he starts talking about this freezer that he saw at Costco, and he thought it was a little bit bigger than the freezer I had. And I said, what are you looking at freezers for? And he said, honey, I thought maybe that, you know, you could use that because your other one might be getting old. And it's like, really? You were thinking about getting me that freezer? And he goes, well, yeah, honey, I was really checking it out. And that, you know, we hadn't talked about a freezer in years. But
yeah,
he thought about me.
Yeah.
About something I wasn't even thinking about. And
yep,
that just...
Yeah, it's very touching.
That will forever move me about anybody in life, even if it's something they couldn't do or they didn't do. But when I find out they were thinking about me, I just can't think of a gift. I can't think of any diamond or anything or trip. I can't think of anything that means more than that.
Yep, that's true.
So that, what Lynnis read, it's a good reminder that we're probably being thought of a lot more than we know. And it probably should help to fuel the love in our heart more than we probably show.
Well, with that, Brenda, that was a beautiful closeout. Yes,
is
Brenda,
show
that
over?
Was a beautiful. No, that
can't
was a beautiful
talking to myself?
Closeout. No.
All right then,
Brenda, you don't hear me. Brenda,
sorry about that, folks. I guess I don't know if the show's over or what's going on.
No,
but
it's going off. It's going off now. She doesn't hear me. But thank you, Brenda.
I think that her show's off. I'm.
No, I'm going to play music.
Not really sure
what's
going
on.
We're
going out. Yeah, some music. We're going out.
Okay, the
show
is not off.
Thank you, everybody.
Well, I will say this. I think there might be some difficulties on Lynnis' side of the studio. So I'm going to go ahead and end the show. Thank you, Lynnis, for reading to us. And, yeah. Okay. I guess I can't hear her. I'll stop talking. I'll let her do her show.